Welcome into another edition of the Nice Job Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Hill. Our guest in this episode is Sarah Calashoni, product leader here at Nice Job. And in this episode, you'll learn how your reviews can turn into revenue, if there's such a thing as useless feedback, and the most important question to ask when making your next business decision. So let's get started with episode 78. My guest today, you may not know, was already on our podcast. In fact, it was episode zero, show zero. It was the pilot episode, if you would say, of this podcast. Completely different format, things like that. So if you want someone to thank or maybe someone to blame for everything we've done thus far, if Sarah Calashoni did not say yes on that very first ask, we would not be here today. I think it's a positive thing, and I know it's a positive thing now because I'm able to bring Sarah back. Sarah, thank you so much for rejoining us here on the Nice Job Podcast.
Pleasure to be here, Sean. Thanks for having me back.
And at that time, I believe you were still in our success team, and it's been a little bit of ascension, quite a rise there. You've earned a lot for yourself. You want to tell the people where you are now, kind of your title, and just the general things that you handle here at Nice Job Paystone.
Yeah, so I am the product leader at Nice Job, looking after the customer journeys and advocacy group, helping our clients to capture more of the voice of their customers. And also help them to amplify the voice of their customers in their marketing to help increase their sales. So that's what I do. I look after the product.
And with that, that dives right into the general topic I wanted to have you on, because the voice of the customer, it's a key element of customer-driven growth. You can almost argue perhaps the main element of customer-driven growth, because if you aren't, you know, capturing and amplifying and learning from, you know, the voice of your customer, you're kind of just doing a service and it's not really going to go anywhere in that regard. With that as kind of our jumping off point to kind of explore through, I'm always reminded of something that Lars Christensen, the founder of Nice Job, kind of told me, and kind of the mantra of what we've done was to start the question with, what will our customers love? And I will say, working on the marketing side or the partnership side, sometimes we're coming to different answers because we're trying to, what will they love in an ad, or what will they love in content, or what will they love in that. But you being generally close to the product, that's like as hands on the wheel as the ship as possible. So I'll ask you, when you either first heard that statement, or, you know, when you first came to understand that statement, what was it that kind of clicked or made you buy in, or what do you say is the reason that you full-heartedly agree that you should start with the question, what will your customers love?
Yeah, I love that phrase because it just reminds you of what's most important. And so to answer your question, Sean, I'm kind of actually going to work backwards from what we are looking to achieve here for our clients, which is to help them bring in more customers. So if we think about what helps bring in more customers, it is someone, a lead, learning about that company and being interested and trusting the messaging they know about it, or if they, you know, they feel as though they're going to be able to meet their needs. And we know that customers trust product and service reviews 12 times more than, you know, company's own marketing copy. So they are listening to other previous customers of that business, happy customers that have had a fantastic experience and are shouting about it in reviews, maybe word of mouth sort of referrals. And that is what brings in that customer. And so in order to get those reviews and get those referrals and that those advocates for the business, that customer needs to be happy. That customer needs to have been looked after and have had their needs met. And so that is why focusing on your customer and what they would love is where you should start. Because if you do that and focus on your customers and on what they would love, you will bring in more customers at the end.
It's almost a bit of a getting the most efficiency out of your efforts as well, right? Because you talked about you want the, you know, the customer-driven growth achievement of, for every customer you serve, you have the opportunity to serve one more, or you're acquiring one more. And we talk about bringing in leads and bringing in kind of attention or demand in that sort of sense as well. It goes back to the core of, you want that to be kind of a flywheel and continue on. So by starting with what your customers love, it sounds like you're kind of going to be efficient across the board. At the same time, customers are diverse, right? So there is the ideal customer profile. How have either, us here at Nice Job from the product perspective, or you personally, How do you go about, as you're starting to find out what your customers love, kind of parsing through the nuances of, you know, hey, I would love this for dinner. That person loved that for dinner. How do we create something that they both will like? How do you kind of parse through the complexity, even though more often than not, your customer profile is going to give you some similarities? There certainly are differences. How do you parse through that?
So it's about understanding who they are and what they need, and making sure you're listening to them and listening to their feedback. At every opportunity, we should be learning from every one of those customers of what they are looking for and what they care about. And you know, one fantastic source of that information are reviews. So reading the reviews and actually being able to pick up on those nuances and pick up on those things that they do care about. You know, for example, we look at all of the reviews of our clients, and we surface topics to our clients that they can see themes that their customers are talking about, not keyword analysis, but more sort of contextual sort of sentences that we sort of read and pass through as, you know, like experience, or they really appreciated that it was affordable, or that, you know, it was efficient. So that's one place to start, but also, you know, asking for feedback and taking every opportunity that customers, you know, give feedback in. So whether that is, you know, through a survey or even through a negative review, you know, a negative review is an opportunity to learn from the experience with that customer and to actually demonstrate how you react as a business in those environments. So how you reply to that review, how you take that review and then turn it around and, you know, action on that opportunity.
We haven't talked specifically about this, but I wonder if you subscribe to the same thing I do, which is I don't think there are bad reviews or bad feedback, right? Because you can learn something from it. You know, if it's a mistake you made, if it's warranted bad feedback, then you can make that change. And if it's unwarranted or fake bad feedback, then, you know, it still allows you to identify, you know, those sort of individuals that are leaving that feedback. So I want to ask you directly, because I don't want to just, you know, put those words in your mouth, whatever. Do you think there's such a thing as bad feedback or a bad review, or maybe not bad, the right word, but is there anything that's useless in the feedback cycle?
Is there anything that's useless? No. I completely agree with you. I think also, though, it's important to recognize, and I'm sure, you know, many business owners out there will have felt this maybe, or if they haven't, they fear the sort of the feeling of it is, it's pretty visceral when you get a negative review. You know, you feel it and you care so much about it, and it provokes an emotional response. It doesn't feel good. And so, you know, we can't, you know, that's difficult to move past. But at the same time, when you look at it for sort of practically from a business perspective, as I said before, it's a public opportunity to show how you as a business respond to that situation. Myself, even as a consumer, if I'm looking for a business, quite often, you know, I'll skip past the 5 stars and I'll go right to the negative reviews to see, okay, what are those negative reviews? How has the business actually responded to those negative reviews? And if I see a business has responded to a negative review in a really professional way, perhaps even said how they have improved since that review, or explained, you know, the sort of the situation or whatever it is, that actually can even, that could create even more trust in me of that business. And so, you know, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to improve. It's an opportunity to demonstrate how you handle those situations. And so for that reason, I think there is a huge amount of unrecognized positivity in those bad reviews.
Because there's not the opportunity to even show off your transparency. You know, sometimes in a perfect customer journey, you never really get into your communication style. You know, we often talk about when people are looking to trust somebody, you know, I always think of like romantic relationships, right? You know, when you do wedding vows, like death apart, to sickness and in health. Like, all right, when it's all going good, I know we'll get along, but what's it going to be like when things aren't going so great? And sometimes those bad reviews, as you said, can present those opportunities that, hey, if we have a disagreement or you're not satisfied, this is how we're going to respond. These are the fundamental changes that we're going to make. I do love to ask you, you know, from a product development perspective or for some of our home service professionals, sometimes when I've talked about, you know, start with what your customers love, they bring up these things that aren't quite unrealistic, but it's almost the customer says one thing, but then does another. So, you know, I'd love for you to clean my whole house, but yet they're not getting that package that is the full house clean. They're kind of sticking in their wheelhouse. How do you manage kind of almost balancing maybe data that you're picking up, I know from the product perspective, you know, product adoption or how people are using it, versus sentiment? Because I think for our home service professionals, this is an interesting question for them because, yeah, everyone would love if I mowed their lawn and swept their driveway. But if no one's taking me up on my driveway sweeping services, but I know they said they love it, is it something I'm doing wrong? Like, why aren't they adopting that? So I'm wondering from a product mind perspective, how do you go from, we love this, like, okay, here you go, we don't use it. Is it something that you look for a rollout, an execution, or development of it? Like, take me through that mindset of deciphering between customer love and kind of customer action.
So everything that we are looking to extending with the product is to help our clients grow faster. So we have this customer-driven growth flywheel, which is designed, starts with what will my customers love and helping to create that positive sentiment from that customer and helping the clients understand, you know, where are the opportunities to increase that sentiment. But ultimately, you know, business owners, they know their customers best. So allowing them just to focus on their customer and help make them happy. And then comes capturing the voice of that customer. And then comes amplifying that voice in their marketing via their social media, via their websites, thereby bringing in more customers. So everything that we are doing and every way that we're extending the product is to help accelerate that customer-driven growth flywheel, because a feature is just a feature, but ultimately the benefits we're looking to give back are always going to be about what can we do to help you get more customers. So in terms of decision making of what we do next, it's what is going to have the biggest impact in helping our clients grow faster through their customers, through customer driven growth.
Yeah, so I guess almost it's worthwhile. Like if someone hasn't, you know, adopted the feature, or in the home service realm, someone hasn't taken on that service yet, that is, well, you know what? It doesn't mean that there was a waste of time to create that, things like that. It's now a different sort of setup. So perhaps it is, from the home service perspective, I'll use, you know, maybe creating a package that has a different affordable price point, or offering, you know, a little teaser, a little trial, like, hey, we'll throw in that service for free for only a month if you book this, or if you book two jobs, one of them will come with a free service. And almost sometimes, you know, get people to kind of like it, because I know from the night job perspective, and I'm sure you would say the same thing, it's like, those are the things we're developing. If we don't think our customers will love it, if we don't think it helps their goals and what our kind of mission is and things like that to help them grow, then that's an easy one. We know it's not worth our time. But if we think it's something that will help them grow, even if they don't latch on right away, it sounds like you at least feel like, all right, well, that was worthwhile for us, because it'll eventually be there when they're ready for that stage.
Absolutely. So I think we have the mission in mind. The mission is the ultimate goal, which is to help our clients grow more quickly. And then how we do that is guided by direct feedback from clients. So I speak to our clients every day, every week. I have, you know, weekly calls with some various members of our user base to validate assumptions, to you know, learn more about sort of stories of their day to day, of their relationship with their customers, and you know, their pain points, and essentially spotting opportunities for us to help them grow faster. So, you know, we've got this end goal in mind, this mission in mind, helping to accelerate that customer driven growth flywheel. And then, you know, I'm speaking to our clients every week to ensure that it's delivered in a way that actually is useful to them. So how does it, you know, it's not adding more time to their day. It's still, you know, actually creating efficiencies for them, and actually ultimately is a feature that they'll love, and creating benefits that they'll love too.
And so I feel like I need to really like hammer this nail home, or put this cherry on top here. But do you think that you could do your job as it is now if you weren't having those weekly conversations? Like if you weren't in touch with voice of the customer? We talk about being such an important thing. I think we've sold that, but I think to really drive it home, like if you didn't have access to the voice of the customer, do you really think you could do your job effectively?
No, if I was just building the product in a box, not speaking to anybody, then no one will use it because it doesn't meet their needs. So no.
You know, sometimes it sounds overly simple, but I know that some of our, you know, listeners and business owners out there are things like that. Sometimes you're so caught up in the day to day that you just need that simple reminder of, hey, this is important. And I know you say you believe it, but this is kind of definitive proof. Sarah, you know, it wouldn't be a nice, you know, quick little episode right to the point, but I do want to give you the opportunity to answer the question that all of our guests have answered here in season four, and then throughout the season, we'll kind of compare the answers and things like that. And the question we're going for is that if someone were to write a review about you, what would you hope to see in that review? Either a phrase or some keywords, things like that. What would you like to see in a review about Sarah Calashione?
That she really cares about what she does, and it shows.
Awesome. Well, you know what? I'm going to comb through a review, Sarah. I think at least from your time previously, I know there has to be a couple of them that kind of said that. But you know what? If not, at some point, I'll definitely give you that review. I appreciate the time that you're spending here on the Nice Job podcast. If you're not a Nice Job customer yet, not involved, I invite you to kind of check us out. You can look at the link in the description to see about a 14-day free trial to get involved. But for those that are Nice Job users and perhaps haven't talked to you, Sarah, how can we direct them towards perhaps being able to meet with you or produce their feedback? What should we tell those that are in our Nice Job community that would love a chance to tell you what they love? Where should we direct them towards?
Oh, I'd absolutely love to speak to anybody. Please do reach out on the blue chat bubble within the Nice Job app, and just say I'd love to chat with Sarah, and I'll set up a call with you as soon as you're available.
Fantastic. Well, as you can tell from the podcast, the conversation with Sarah always will leave you smiling at the end of it. Thank you so much for your time and obviously your efforts here and joining us once again. You know what? I'm going to try my best not to make you wait 70 some episodes to come back on again.
Thanks, Sean. I loved being here as always.
Special thanks once again to Sarah Calashione for joining us on the show, a return from her original appearance. And I hope you got a lot of great takeaways from this quick episode. We'd love to hear what you've learned. Drop us an email at podcast@nicejob.com. And don't forget to check the description of this episode for an exclusive offer from Nice Job. Whenever you click that link, it'll take you to the best offer available from our show. Until next week, I hope you're being healthy, I hope you're being safe, and don't forget to have a little fun out there as well.